It's Tuesday, the day we read from your letters, emails, and web comments. We could devote a full show to the emails that poured in about our segment with Washington Post Pulitzer Prize fashion columnist Robin Givhan on whether or not the Britain's Got Talent sensation Susan Boyle should get a makeover. Steve Anderson is a drama teacher in Tucson, Arizona. "I completely fell for Susan Boyle," he wrote. "I thought she was adorable, and her singing, while not necessarily the strongest performance I've ever heard, was stunning. I cried. I'm troubled by the notion that to become a star, you have to look a certain way. Can't we be over this already? Do we constantly have to teach our youngsters that one must be skinny and have perfect symmetry in order to be considered beautiful? Every image one sees on TV, magazines, etc., tells a young lady she's not good enough just as she is. Well, she is. Period. I think it would be fantastic if Susan Boyle became a huge success with her eyebrows fully intact. But Brad in Tampa demurred. What we have with Ms. Boyle is a disconnect. Her appearance is incongruent with her talent. Audiences don't expect her to undergo plastic surgery, but they want to see the same effort in her appearance that she puts into her singing. And of course, many of you made the point, this listener did, while musing on pop star makeovers. Who's been famous without a makeover? You don't know any? What about Lyle Lovett, Willie Nelson, Chuck Berry, Rod Stewart, old men, Rolling Stones? I see a trend here. They are all male. That from Christine in Atchison, Kansas. And we must also report that since our broadcast, Susan Boyle appeared with her eyebrows shaped, her hair colored, and she wore a jaunty leather jacket. Our segment on the brands we know and love started a discussion on one of the great branding mysteries of all time, the origin of the Heinz 57 varieties. When our guest Scott Montgomery threw it out to all our listeners, most of you guessed pickles, but not listener Dane Alt in Portland, Oregon. As a guy who has spent way too many years as a graphic designer designing grocery ads, I know what the 57 varieties are. The number 57 was chosen arbitrarily because the number 5 was Mr. Heinz's lucky number and the number 7 was his wife's. And just to add to Dane's correct answer, Heinz got that idea while riding on a train in New York City in 1896. He saw a sign advertising 21 styles of shoes, which he thought was marketing magic. Although Heinz was manufacturing more than 60 products at the time, he began to use the slogan 57 varieties in all his advertising. And one last anecdote, our segment with celebrity writer Shelley DeAngelis yielded this romantic story, despite the Lawrence Welk mention. I managed a twofer with an autograph. When I was young, my parents always idolized Lawrence Welk. I managed to find out how to send a letter to Mr. Welk and ended up getting a letter and picture back to the great surprise and enjoyment of my father. Fast forward many years, when I was on a blind date discussing music. I made a joke about having to watch Lawrence Welk every week with my parents, to which my date perked up and said that he, too, had to do the same thing. When I mentioned that I had a signed photo and letter back at my house, it turned to love. We'll be married 16 years in July.